You're listening to PorchDrinking.com's The Porchcast, brought to you by Molly's Spirits. And now, The Porchcast.
Alrighty, well, on that note, welcome to episode 73 of The Porchcast. Very excited to be joined by a full house tonight. We are doing our end of year recap, which actually we're a little bit late behind on because it's now officially 2021. Happy New Year to everyone tuning in, and a big thank you to everybody who's watching with us live. You are watching The Porchcast and you're also listening to The Porchcast. And so for that, I want to give a special shout out to our partners over at Molly's Spirits. For all of your our Denver listeners or anyone visiting Denver, explore a land of adult beverage discovery at Molly's Spirits, offering a curated selection of beers, wines, and spirits in Lakeside and Greenwood Village, Colorado. Shop over 14,000 products, including exclusive collabs and an extensive craft beer selection in-store or online for curbside pickup or delivery. Learn more at mollyspirits.com. You know, I definitely hit up Molly's Spirits as we head into the new year. You know, I picked up a bunch of beers, and right now we're drinking a lot of Mezcal Negronis. But now, are you guys, I got a question. Are you guys celebrating a dry January? Or actually, I don't know if celebrating is the actual word for that. Are you all participating in dry January? I know Bryant's not.
No.
There's Sammy.
I'm pretty sure Kinsey and Sammy just took drinks on the
just
show,
despite, so definitely just despite not, dry January.
Yeah, I'm not.
Oh my god, it's so good. This beer is so good.
I'm participating in dry hopped January.
Yeah, there it is. Like that.
Yeah, there it is.
I basically had to do the same thing with my mom today when she asked me that question, when she asked me why I take every 420 off from school when I was growing up. It's just like, no, mom, it's not for that particular reason. It's just, you know, allergy. I wanted to do some, allergies. Yeah. So I will not be participating, but mostly because I have a job to do between this podcast and then my other one and some articles I got to write. I've got a job to do, man. People need to know this stuff. So.
Well, I do want to say a big welcome to all of our co-hosts. It's great to see you all. It's been a while since we've all been together. Sammy Hartman, Corey David, our co-host, and then Bryant Vanderweerd, our trusty engineer who, you know, last episode, I just want to say, we didn't fully understand
last
your value.
Dumpster fire.
Last dumpster fire. I didn't truly appreciate, no, I did. But as you all found out, it's a lot harder to produce on the fly when you have to produce and host at the same time. So Bryant, I just want to say a big thank you for all of your hard work. You make us sound great. And you also actually get the show live. So thank you to that.
Is that the one we did with Shikes where we talked to him for 10 minutes and realized we weren't live?
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened.
That was it.
I mean, it was a great conversation. Sorry.
Yeah, best show yet.
Yeah, best show ever.
We should start a Patreon and you can access that 10 minutes.
OnlyFans? I don't think an OnlyFans is
Yeah, Patreons get that exclusive 10 minutes where we had no idea what we were talking about. I couldn't remember the name of his book. So everything was great. High quality content right there. All right. But,
the name of his book, which is...
I will say, to start off this episode on a much better foot, we do have some really exciting news to share. And it involves our special guest. So Kinsey Bernhard, thank you for joining us and welcome to the show. For those who aren't familiar, Kinsey is the founder and host of Boys Are From Mars and podcast. Kinsey, you want to tell us a little bit more about the podcast and some of the incredible interviews you've done so far?
Yeah, so obviously with the coronavirus, I lost my job in, I started a job in January and then lost it in April. So it was a very short-lived job. And after a few months, I just got insanely bored, as many of you probably know. So I was thinking, what can I do during this time? I think I had either I was starting to write for Porch Drinking or just a little bit before. So people had always told me to start a podcast and I was just like, no, I don't have time for that. So obviously when there was nothing going on, it was the perfect time to start a podcast. So then I was kind of thinking, what kind of podcast do I want to host? There's tons of podcasts out there and I wanted to focus on beer. There's tons of beer podcasts. So I was thinking, you know, what kind of podcast can set myself apart? Where's my niche? Where can my niche be? So I'm like, well, I'm a female in the craft beer industry. We're very still, you know, it's mostly dominated by men. So let's start a women in beer podcast and, you know, only have women on there. No offense to men. They get enough time to talk. Let's give the ladies in the industry a time to, you know, tell their story. So, you know, I launched this podcast and I wanted to, you know, have all kinds of roles represented, whether from brewers to owners, to brewers and owners, to social media, to I've had journalists who covered the beer industry on. I've had just like, I don't want to call them social media influencers, but their brand is just social media and their day jobs are in something else, but they their dad owns a brewery. So they, you know, do a lot with breweries. So kind of all range of roles in the industry and just women on the podcast. And I've had some really cool guests from, I'm based here in Kentucky. So I've obviously started off with a lot of local women in the industry here in Kentucky, but I've since grown. I've had people from California, from Washington to the Northeast. In all different aspects, and it's been so much fun to, you know, hear their stories. And, you know, we talk about, like, you know, being a female in the brewing industry, but honestly we just talk about working in the industry, whether it doesn't, I mean, not, doesn't matter if they're a woman or a man, you know, we just talk about their story to help kind of normalize, you know, people's image of people who work in the craft beer industry. And it's been so much fun just booking guests and talking to women about their experience and just craft beer in general, because that's what we love to talk about.
Absolutely. And for those who aren't as familiar, because Kinsey is relatively new to the scene here, you joined our staff back over the summer. Mm-hmm. And just to provide a little extra context, you know, I had started Porch Drinking 8 years ago, and one of the bigger influences at the time was a little Kentucky sports blog called Kentucky Sports Radio, since grown to become one of the largest sports publications in the country. And Kinsey had been doing some incredible reporting for them covering the Kentucky craft beer scene. And I had read a lot of your work throughout that time and really got my attention when you broke the story on Stone Brewing in a trademark dispute with Sawstone Brewing over the summer. And we ended up doing some follow-up articles. You know, we connected digitally and I asked you if you were interested in writing for Porch Drinking. And so from there, it continued on. You have since stepped into an editor role to manage the Kentucky beer scene from an editor standpoint for Porch Drinking. And it just really felt like it was the right kind of connection for all of us. And now we've got a pretty exciting announcement to make. So would you like to do the honors of sharing that?
Oh, I get to do it. So we're super excited. I'm on this podcast to announce that my podcast, Boys Up From Martson, is joining the Porchcast Network, which I am super excited about. You know, I've been doing this for a while and thought it would be really cool to, you know, take the next step with this podcast because I just love doing it. And so I reached out to Tristan and the people at Porch Drinking and Porchcast and was like, hey, let's combine forces. Let's get my podcast on your network. And so here we are a couple months later and it's happening.
Yeah. Lots of big moves and we're very, very excited to have you and really try to grow, you know, the awesome work that you're already doing. You know, we love featuring women in the craft beer industry already. And we're just hoping that we can do more to showcase it in a bigger way. So I'm very grateful to have Boys Are From Martson part of the Porchcast Network. And hopefully you all will be seeing some really exciting stuff coming down the pipeline where we can work together in a much bigger capacity. So yeah, welcome, Kinsey.
Very excited.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah, Kinsey, who are your like pie in the sky guests? Like, who do you really want to get on the show?
Oh gosh, that's a big question.
The big gets.
I've had some that I've like have, you know, M. Sauter from Pints and Panels. I have six of her prints on my wall over there. So getting her on was awesome. I totally geeked out having her, and I was like, look at all my prints that I have of yours. Like, so that was fun with her. I want to have Dr. J from, she's the craft beer diversity panel, for the BA, I believe. She's one that I'd love to get on. I think her name is, I don't know how to pronounce her name, but it's Katie Ulrich. She's, I think, the president of Pink Boots. Obviously she would be an amazing guest. And the cool thing is, like, I've reached out to all these people and none of them had said no. You know, they're always willing to do it. So it's more like finding the right time and just like going through my list of guests on who to, it's honestly like, who do I want to pick this week? Or who do I think, you know, it's at the right moment to have them on. I just reached out to Beth Demon of, she's a Good Beer Hunting, a few other things. And she just revamped her Prohibition column. So I was like, let's get her on so she can talk about that column. Cause it's kind of, you know, I try to do find the timing part of it all so that they can plug their stuff and then I can hear about it as well. So
yeah, that's great. So yeah, if somebody was going to go right from here to listening to your podcast, do you have any episodes that you would drive them toward to get like the essence of the show?
Yeah, I just recorded one with Mary McDonald. She's the executive director of the Ohio Beer Brewers Association. It was really interesting to hear her talk about, you know, being the executive director of a Brewers Guild during the pandemic and what that entailed. I mean, Ohio has over 300 breweries, which is just insane. I mean, in Kentucky, we have, I think, 88 licenses. So that means a couple breweries have two. So to have to manage 300 breweries is absolutely insane. So just hearing her talk about leading, you know, breweries, you know, small business during the pandemic is really interesting. I also talked to Jess Infante at Brewram. She had just really cool stories. I went to University of Kentucky and I have a degree in journalism. And so to hear, you know, her talk about being a beer journalist I really resonated with that, especially with Port Shrinking, and thought she was great to talk to. And like I said, M. Sauter, I just love her. She was great. She's, you know, very great personality. Love to talk about her Pines and Panels cartoons, which are beer cartoons that she does, you know, does a great job at educating people on beer through cartoons. So those are three of kind of my favorites that I've done. And then a lot of local ones. So if you're listening and you're in Kentucky, I've done a lot of women who work in the beer industry in Kentucky. Is at Country Boy, Hopkinsville, Dreaming Creek. I'm actually having the manager of the new West 6 Nulu location on tomorrow. So they just opened that up, kind of put her in charge of kind of opening it. And they opened, I think it was in September, October. So opening a new location during pandemic's not easy. So it'll be interesting to talk to her about that as well.
Yeah. So for all of those who are listening and want to figure out how to subscribe or follow along, tell them where they can find you.
Yeah, so I use Anchor, which is a podcast hosting platform. It was just the easiest one, a lot of recommendations. And it posts to, I upload it to their website and it uploads to all of them. So I believe I'm on Apple, Spotify, Google. There's a couple other sites I'm just not as familiar with. I do have a Facebook page and an Instagram, but that's just mostly kind of my personal beer drinking profile. People got sick of me posting beers on my own personal one. But I'll, you know, link when I have a new story up on there. Or you can just follow my personal stuff, which is my first and last name on Twitter. Absolutely. And Facebook.
And we will be posting all of your episodes on Porch Drinking's website now as well. And so if you don't have those platforms, you can also find us on the web as Kinsey will begin posting those here with all the new episodes. So really excited to have you on board in a much bigger capacity. And hopefully we can team up together to get you some really rad women guests on the show. So.
And one thing I would notice, like I'm open to, I've had a lot of people suggest people to me and I love that because, you know, I only know so many people, follow so many people, you know, it's all through social media as I find these guests or just people I've followed in the past who I've kind of looked up to. So if you know somebody, you know, it can be in a small town in, you know, Iowa, that's just head brewer, she's an owner, whatever. She does marketing, whatever. Tell me about her. I'll definitely reach out. I'm open to everybody and anyone.
I actually just shot you an email, Kinsey, because I just work with the executive director of the Missouri Craft Brewers Guild, Sherry Wolgemuth, and they just finished their first ever collab brew. There was like a bunch of different breweries throughout Missouri and everything, and getting together exactly like we are over Zoom and kind of planning everything. And then the day of, you know, they didn't even know what the hot bill was going to be until a couple hours before it went into the kettle. Everybody sort of had their own little input into it, and it was all sort of orchestrated by, and Sherry is an awesome. Yeah. So I shot you an email just
praise,
now. Definitely.
Just, I mean, not even the female ones, praise all the guilds, the executive directors of guilds the past couple months. They've been doing some crazy, great work for all these breweries. Yeah, it's been fun. So I'm excited to join the Porchcast Network and, you know, help have more people here. You know, obviously this isn't about me, it's about them and highlighting other people's stories. So that's what, you know, I'm a journalist, so I like to tell stories. So this is just another way of doing it.
Yeah, but it's a podcast, so it's all about you too. It's also selfishly motivated. Like, we all are here to hear our own voices. So yeah,
I started a podcast because everyone has a podcast. I felt left out.
Corey's like, and on that note, let's talk about.
Hardly. It's like it's like the gym at Planet Fitness here right now in January. We got a full house. It's everybody's voice.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I do want to start out by going around and kind of hearing from you guys how it's been a while since we've all kind of gotten together. Tell us about what's been going on in your lives. Any great beers that everybody's enjoyed? Corey, I know you've been going through some harrowing times, but
kind of sort of, but it was good before it was bad. So I'm better now, but I was back in New York for the holidays and it was really great to just catch up with some friends. I'm from upstate New York and a good buddy of mine, Mark Schultz, a few years ago opened this place called Prison City Brewing, which is based in Auburn, New York, small little town. And is literally known for the only thing in the town is a prison before there was a brewery with the same name. So easily Google confusable. Anyway, so a couple years ago, Pace Magazine did this blind taste test for like the best hazy IPAs in the country. And they did like 200 beers in this blind taste test and they won. So ever since then, their brewery has blown up and it used to be this small little pub downtown. They were churning small batch stuff out of. And then when I went and visited about 2 weeks ago, they have this monster production facility now that's very farm-like looking with silos and an event space and all that. They have a cool ship room. They have a barrel aging room. And they're basically turning it into a special project. So the beer is called Mass Riot. They're turning it into a Mass Riot factory so that they can kind of take the Allagash business model where they have this one main workhorse that does all of the heavy lifting for them. And then they can do really fun souring and barrel aging side projects off to the side to keep them entertained and offer something for everybody. So I'm just really stoked for them because it's really cool to see where something started and where it's been, especially because when we met, we were both in the sales side. He was the sales manager at one of my distributors that we worked with when I was at Harpoon. And to see that kind of go from there, talking about it then, and then having this huge successful production facility come to fruition is really, really cool.
That's very neat. I've been following Prison City since their rise and, you know, I'm friends with the guys over at Pace Magazine. And so definitely followed along as they kind of gained some awareness through the blind tasting that you were talking about. So really cool that you got to visit them and see all the rad stuff that they're doing. It sounds like they've really blown out all of their special projects in a big way. I do want to apologize if you might hear, my big announcement is that we got a puppy recently. And so you might hear him in the background. He's being a little gremlin currently, but for us, that's kind of the crazy thing that's dominated our lives. I will say on the note of blind tastings, one extra kind of additional special thing that I'm excited to give you a little sneak peek of is that in 2020, we are working on a blind tasting series for Porch Drinking. And Jim Varell over at Pace Magazine did give me his blessing and kind of provided some pointers for how they ran theirs. But we're going to be doing one specifically for Colorado beers, and we're going to be announcing 4 different styles that we'll be trying throughout the year each quarter. And so Colorado breweries are welcome to submit to be considered for those style categories. And we're really pumped to be launching that here shortly because we really want to highlight some of the best in specific styles. And I think Colorado produces some of the best in the country. So I think it'll be a great representation of what folks can, you know, either really validate, you know, some of the great beers that we knew were already outstanding or hopefully find some hidden gems as well. So we really do want to open this up to the entire state and breweries from across the state. So hopefully we'll get a wide sampling to participate. So
it's almost like a good American beer fest.
Yeah.
Totally.
And we are, and one thing to note, if anybody listening out there is interested in sponsorship, that is something that we're looking for. So be sure to hit us up about that. Sammy, tell me what's been happening in your life in both personal and beer news.
Nothing. I feel like this last year has just been like
literally nothing.
Literally nothing. The year of, I mean, when I wrote you last week when I couldn't get on the pod, the previously scheduled pod, and I said my top beer of the year was literally anything that was in my fridge, and that rang true. Just a year of the pivot. We got a new cat, and I also found that Original Reaper is a stout from Half Acre that we cannot get enough of, and that is the only beer that we've really been drinking. That, West Coast IPAs, end of list.
Dude, since we've been getting more distribution of Half Acre, it just reaffirms the fact that I think they're one of the best breweries in the country. I mean, they put out some incredible hoppy beers, but like you said, the Original Reaper is fantastic as well. I'm really stoked about Avery Swanson joining their team for their kind of like sour program. And mm-hmm. I think it's just going to elevate their game even further. And
yeah. I mean, just like 10 out of 10s across the board. And there was a post on Instagram from Good Beer Hunting that called it a stout flavored stout. And that's what it is. It's like, that's what I want right now. I want a
stout. It's like an incredible stout that.
Yeah, right? What a concept.
Yeah. It reminds me of that incredible stout that True puts out, that it's like the parentheses. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're one of those breweries that from top to bottom, not even just beer styles, but it seems like everything they do, I love. I mean, their can artwork really cool. It's exceptional. I've got decorated on this guy right now. Yeah. Nice. It's taking up real estate on the water bottle. That's how you know it's good. Do you guys have other breweries that you can think of off the top of your head that, man, it's like everything they do from top to bottom, you're just in love with it?
Well, this is actually very apropos, because I feel like there was someone who posted on Twitter just like in the last month who was like, who are the, you know, the breweries that are like the top, the highest echelon, where kind of like you described, nothing that they put out is bad. And for me, that list includes Firestone Walker. Mm-hmm. It includes Allagash Brewing. And also, I think their caveat was that they excel at every style category all Got around.
It. Yeah, it's not just like one particular
beer stat. Or,
yeah, because I think, you know, if we were to talk about
beer stat.
Well, I mean, water. Yeah,
totally.
I think
we need hot takes on this show, Sammy. I like that.
Podcast will never be sponsored by.
No, I think if our parameters are just, you know, breweries that put out stuff that every single thing that they put out is exceptional to like the top tier beers, then I think Bierstadt absolutely fits in that category. And
100%.
You know, we're going to get into some of our best picks of 2020 here in a little bit, but they definitely, you know, by the time this podcast is actually released in the audio form, hopefully we'll have our best of Colorado series published. And they're my pick for having the biggest year in 2020, because they not only were they able to successfully transition into canning, but all of the lagers that they put out this year were just fan-freaking-tastic. That Mexican lager was tremendous. The collab that they did with Boulevard was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Their Tamave was incredible. Their Oktoberfest this year was even better than I remember from previous years. It just was everything that they did this year was top notch. What about you guys? I'd love to hear a little bit more about, you know, Corey, you posed the question. What are your breweries who just don't fail?
I mean, a bit of a homer here on this one. I'm not a native, so why am I calling myself a homer? Odell, from literally, I feel like everything that they do is top notch. And then Victory is another one. I mean, I know they don't have, kind of like Odell, they have that smaller regional distribution footprint, but I love all their stuff. I think the fact that they use a lot of lighter, paler malts in all their beers, no matter what it is. I think I heard a rumor that they use Pilsner malt in almost everything they do, which gives it just like that easy drinkability, but tons of flavor, makes a huge difference in terms of offering a lot that tastes really great. I don't know. What about you, Kinsey?
Y'all are talking about breweries that don't distribute to Kentucky, so I'm very jealous. I mean, it's a homer pick. I'll say the brewery that I work at, we make incredible stuff. but no. hey, we're small. We just opened in July, so giving us any publicity we can get. Again,
mail some out here for the blind taste test.
Yes, I definitely will. We just started canning. We just canned our second beer, so it's exciting time. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I mean, you, Tristan might understand this answer, but I just love Bells. Like, I've always been a big fan of everything they do. Big year for me. Well, not big year. I just adopted a dog first week of December. So I think actually 1 month ago today, and I named him Oberon. Just because it's one of my favorite beers. It's always a classic. I love Two Hearted. I've got a 12 pack of Two Hearted in my fridge. Always checking out Bell's new stuff. I think some of the Larry's latest stuff that they do is incredible. I know the Bell's rep in Kentucky, so he brings me some, you know, it's good to know people in the beer industry. He brings me some stuff that I normally wouldn't get to try, and it's always just been incredible. It's on my bucket list to visit. Haven't been to their actual tap room up in Kalamazoo or Comstock or I think one's in one city. I think they have two locations up there. So Bell's, and yeah, then I'll definitely plug my own brewery, Gallant Fox, here in Louisville, Kentucky.
One strike that I remember vividly from Bell's was a couple of years ago, they came out with this beer called Oatsmobile. Does anybody remember that one?
I do.
Like, what does that even mean? There was, so I don't even think the style wasn't very well defined on the
was
label.
Was it an oatmeal, like an oat IPA? Or
there was like a horse. Was there
was a horse on it? There was a horse on the label.
Terrible branding.
Bad.
The beer wasn't very good. It was fine. I think from what I can recall, it was fine. You're like, first of all, what the hell?
Oh my God, I'm looking at the can.
What the hell is an Oatsmobile?
It has a horse on it, and it's just an American pale ale.
Yeah. Okay, then that's...
That probably has oats in it.
It was not a home run.
Yeah, it was not.
I was over here thinking it was an oatmeal stout, and that might actually make sense.
Okay, I would definitely try this one. But
you can't win them all.
A couple other ones that I had on my list include before I do, I wanna turn it over to Sammy. Do you have any other, Sammy? I don't wanna steal your thunder.
I mean, I've found, I haven't done a lot of exploring this year. It's just really been a lot of like, what is available and what can I try. Haven't really been traveling outside of the bubble, but every single Western Conference All-Star from Westbound and Down has incredible. Yeah. It's been incredible. That's the Boneyard one and that Pizza Port one, like, get out of here. I'm drinking.
Their Comrade one was phenomenal.
Insane.
As well.
Just so good. They have been lights out across the board. They can do no wrong in my book.
Absolutely. No, that's spot on. As far as kind of like national ones that, and I finally pulled up the tweet. It actually said America's only two perfect breweries, according to this guy who posted it, Mike Kallenberg. He put in his votes for Sierra Nevada and Bell's. Now, I think those are great picks, but I also think that, we talked about Allagash. New Glarus is a sleeper one for me. I think people always forget about them because they're not nationally distributed. Revolution Brewing in Chicago and Fremont in Seattle. Those are my favorites. In terms of local ones, I mentioned Weldworks, Novel Strand, Bierstadt Lagerhaus, Bear Brewing, and that's a different list. I from a local standpoint, I put Ska Brewing as being kind of a sneaky local pick. I don't think I've had anything from them that was terrible, everything that I've had from them was fantastic. Telluride Brewing is also a sleeper one. And then I was going to say spot on with your Westbound and Down kind of entry there. And we talked about Bierstadt. And for those who are a little bit more niche to like the hype game, Amalgam has not put out a bad
beer.
Totally. Go ahead, Sammy.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, going back to Sierra Nevada, in addition to those Westbounds, we've been drinking so much Celebration in this house.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what it is. I don't know why it's so good. It's just so good. It's so good.
The only Christmas beer that's worth a damn.
Yeah, I totally agree. 100%.
And it's because it's not a Christmas beer.
Yeah. $10 for a six pack. Thank you very much.
When I used to work for them, people would come up to a tasting and say stuff like, they didn't put as much cinnamon in it this year. It's like, hey, Gary, they never put cinnamon in it. This has been an IPA for forever.
Hey, listen to your chat.
Come on, Gary.
Is Gary the Karen version of the beer industry?
Yeah.
Maybe. Could have been a Debbie. Who knows?
But
I always thought that was so comical because it's the labeling looks so holiday. It's Christmas-esque.
Yeah, you got to use your eyes to read. where it says fresh hop IPA.
Y'all mentioned Allagash. I just had Allagash White, my first one, about a month
ago. Oh, wow. It's like hearing David welcome to the club. For the first time.
Life-changing. So they don't distribute in Kentucky. So I have friends here from New York. So they went home for Thanksgiving. And they're like, do you want me to bring any beer back? I'm like, Allagash White. Find it, please, bring it back.
Yeah, get it.
It was phenomenal. It's life-changing. Need to stock up on it.
It's cool to still have certain beer. Like, there's so many things that people stand in line for, trade for, want to ship across the country that's kind of hype or looks good on Untappd. But it's still nice that there's beers like Allagash White that have that much acclaim from people that care in the industry, I suppose, and actually still want that. Like, if you could mail this to me or drive it, if you could mule it to my house from out of state, that would be exceptional. I just brought back some of their River Trip. I put some of that in my carry-on when I stopped at Weggie's when I was back in New York and brought home some like Allagash River Trip and some Allagash White, which you can't get out here either. And it's just so good. It's so worth it.
I feel like Fat Cal from New Laris is similar in that kind of, you know, people being just stoked about it, needing to have it shipped to them.
Is that a combination of fat cow and spotted cow? It's a new Belgium. That's right, fat cow, guys.
it's the double ABV version. I kind of want that now. It's the ultimate mashup, guys.
Hey, New Claire's, if you're listening,
I would drink it
for you.
Yeah.
Let's transition.
Kinsey, get Kim Jordan on the horn.
Sorry, was that Corey?
I was saying, Kinsey, get Kim Jordan on the horn. Let's do an episode of Boys Are From Marzen right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, just ring her up.
I want to transition us over to some of the biggest stories of the year, because it's been a very bizarre and non-traditional year in craft beer. And, you know, sorry, guys. It's a dog. I think one of the more interesting things is that the biggest beer stories didn't necessarily have full, like, everything wasn't completely about the beer. And for me, I think the biggest beer story of the year was related to Black Lives Matter and also COVID. And so my biggest story of the year was probably the Weathered Souls Black is Beautiful release. But you also had other major movements, such as breweries responding to George Floyd. You had brewery closures as a response to COVID. You had a lot of industry folks coming together around COVID, like the Other Half Altogether beer. And then you had your traditional stuff, such as trademark stuff, like the Greg Cook Stone Brewing Saltstone story. You had Sweetwater's acquisition by the marijuana company. You had Three Floyds closure. You had Voodoo Brewery going into franchising. So to you guys, what were some of the biggest stories of the year?
I mean, I think that especially at the beginning of all of this, Black is Beautiful movement was really just a microcosm of what the industry is. You know, we could be spread across the country, but to find an issue that is pretty prevalent and to be able to find a way to all unify and, I mean, really participate was pretty remarkable, in my opinion. I thought that was, you know, just a really nice showing, a really nice participation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's nice to know that beer nerds as a whole weren't hurting that much during COVID, because they all spent a lot of money on craft beer, at least on cans and for good causes that went along with making certain beers, especially because I mean, here in Colorado, and I know in California, other collaborative efforts were made to help raise money for the forest fire. Well, not for the forest fire.
Oh, right.
That doesn't need any money, but the people fighting them and the communities that were most affected by the fires, which I think is incredible. If they didn't raise that money, my solution to all of that would have been pouring Yingling all over those forest fires to get rid of it, because That's just how I feel like you should use Inkling. Just dump it on the floor. But it's
straight down the drain.
Straight. Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't even have to. It's not even a drain pour anymore. You just pour it on a forest fire.
It's a fire pour. Okay.
It's their way to help the community. It's a tree pour. It's a tree pour. Yeah. So piggybacking on that whole thing about how it's really great to see the beer community come together for great causes, and not only people recognizing them as something that needs to be addressed, but also the consumers for supporting those products. It's not just an idea, it actually does come to light. But The other one, which is kind of like a two-prong, it's good and bad, right, is that more breweries were forced to can beer this year, which is great from a consumer standpoint. It's really awesome to get something like Bierstadt Slow Pour Pils in a can and be able to drink that in the mountains. But The other side of that is because on-premise had been shut down, people are losing revenue streams from that, so they had to pivot. And then we're also facing a bit of a can shortage right now, so there's people trying to scramble and figure that out. So it's a good and bad, right? I don't know where you guys land on that.
So before we kind of move on from the Black is Beautiful beers, I'm here in Louisville, Kentucky, which has been a major city part of the whole Black Lives Matter movement with the Breonna Taylor. And I talked to a lot of the breweries here in Louisville who did a Black is Beautiful beer and kind of what it meant for them being in this city that has been one of the major cities that has, been on the national news for it. And it was just really interesting to hear them talk about it. And, it's their way of doing what they're good at to help, their city that's hurting. You know, they make really good beer. They make beer, how can they help their city through what they're good at? And for them to, make the beer. The cool thing about Louisville is all the breweries, they did it all partnered up with another brewery to to double the efforts, I guess you could say. And they all donated to local causes, organizations here in Louisville, which is really, important for the city during that time. And to see this brewery step up and show their support for a city, it was hurting for a long time over the summer because of everything happened. It was really interesting. So I guess I'll plug the story if you want to read it. Just go on Porch Drinking. The story I wrote for, I think it's something about Ted, it was like the Black is Beautiful beer means more to Louisville breweries. So it was really cool. Like I said, it was really interesting to hear, talk to the breweries and why they decided to do it and what it meant for them and to support their community here in Louisville.
Yeah, I think, race has been kind of an undercurrent for craft beer for the past 5 years now. And it's something that, we've seen, microaggressions, but also larger instances that have bubbled up to the surface, most particularly in the founder situation, but in other situations as well. And so it's something that we've talked about on the website for a while, and actually it dominated a lot of our podcasts over the summer. But it's something that I think a lot of brewers maybe didn't want to address or were a little afraid to address. So I think it was, in a refreshing way, it was important for us this summer to, from an industry standpoint, to have this, come to the forefront. And my one big hope is that we don't, the movement doesn't stop here, because, my perspective is always that the more that we can welcome people of all backgrounds to this industry, the better the industry is going to become, the stronger it's going to become. So yeah, I think, coming full circle to have Black is Beautiful being representative of that movement is something that I think is good for the overall movement of the industry.
Your dog agrees.
Just want to say, one of the questions that I asked all the breweries or the brewery reps that I talked to for the story in Louisville is like, okay, you've brewed this beer, you sold out of this beer, you donated all the profits to the organization that you picked. Because for the Black is Beautiful beer, they said, Marcus at Weather Souls said, we want this, you don't profit anything from it, you donate it all to an organization or a cause. And I'd asked these breweries, I'm like, okay, you brewed this beer, you sold out the beer, you donated the money, what's next? How do you continue to, work on fixing this diversity problem we have in the industry and just, this problem in general in our society? So a lot of them said they were going to start working with Black Student Union at Louisville, or, just continue to be a big part of their community, which I thought was really interesting because, a lot of these breweries did brew this beer and then, you look at them, they don't do anything else after that. So I think that's a really important part of this whole Black is Beautiful beer collaborations is taking that next step of what's next. Okay, yes, you did this, but then now what? What else can you do to help? Yes.
Yeah. And I guess I kind of got me thinking. I kind of want to pose the question. Is it everybody's responsibility to continue to do something, or because sometimes it's not easy to figure out what you want to do or mm-hmm. how to handle the situation, especially if it doesn't affect you and you don't know exactly know where to support, where to fund, all that kind of stuff. But if you can rally around this collective effort of, hey, I know how to make beer and I know that we can contribute to this cause by doing such thing, it doesn't mean you have to be the most pivotal member in your community that stands up for this movement, but you can contribute to it. So I guess I'm curious as to what you guys think about, like, is that enough from people? Because, or should everybody do more? Because I think it's nice to say, of course, everybody should do more. But as a business, is that always their responsibility other than just contributing to the cause at hand? Big question.
I think there is a responsibility to become knowledgeable on the topic and understand what underlying unintended racism looks like. And I think it's also important for business owners to better understand best hiring practices that include hiring a more diverse workforce and not necessarily. I think getting outside of their bubbles and really understanding that a brewery, if you're gonna proclaim to be a community gathering space, then you really need to make sure that your community is not just siloed to your bubble of, mm-hmm. of people who look just like you. And so, I don't think that every single brewer needs to go out there and start their own scholarship funds to employ brewers of diverse backgrounds. I think that'd be wonderful, but I don't think that that's a realistic, approach towards business. But I do think becoming knowledgeable and making sure that your staff is knowledgeable and trained in diversity, understanding what diversity looks like truly and fully in terms of implementing a diversity training and better understanding of best practices. And then also just becoming more open-minded. I think that that's something that every brewery can and should do.
Yeah, I agree. I think that it goes a little bit further than calling yourself an advocate and then just writing a check. Like, what you need to be active in the community, and whether or not that makes it, whether or not you're making decisions and hiring or anything, but just creating a more inclusive tap room, a more inclusive space, whatever. I can 100% agree.
I should have posed the question a little differently because I know we just went from the Black is Beautiful, but I was actually trying to segue that from like causes at large, not necessarily that one in particular, where it's like, okay, yeah. Is contributing financially and promoting this as a market, it is marketing, right? You're trying to promote this cause. Is that enough? Yes, I get it from the Black is Beautiful perspective specifically. Yes, it is important to teach the inclusivity, but I was really more just like any other issue. Is it okay to just like, hey, we did this thing, we supported the cause, and now we're moving on?
And I think it's a case by case situation. And, maybe you revisit it year after year. But yeah, I mean, there are some that are definitely more important than others.
Well, I think... Sure. Doesn't it? I think a lot of it, this is kind of a marketing thing too, in a sense, but also marketing in the sense of it relates to your brand. And this is something that I always tell breweries or small businesses as a whole, is it's really, really important for your brand identity and also for your consumers' understanding of who you are to really focus in your efforts. And so, if your niche is the music industry and, all you're wanting to do is just do a little fundraiser and cut a check and then claim that you're supporting the music industry. Well, I don't know that that's necessarily going to feel authentic to those who are actually in the music industry. Mm-hmm. But if you're actually consistently bringing in musicians to perform in your venue and, working with musicians to provide a better platform for growing, their business as musicians and like actively participating in the community versus just cutting a check, I think is going to help your business or brewery out in the long term versus, just trying to check a box. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely.
Now circling back to kind of a little bit more of a lighthearted side of things, Now that it's officially 2021, I want to check with all of you guys on any new beer resolutions that you might have for this year. I know it's been a bizarre year, but is there anything in particular that maybe you're really hoping to change up and do differently in relation to beer in 2021 with the hopes of, you know, coming out of this, coming out of the pandemic and hopefully having vaccines fully rolled out by the middle of summer?
I know I'm looking forward to just seeing where more experimentation goes with collaboration between the beer and the marijuana industries. One of the things that I saw a lot this year out of Colorado Brewers and a bit out of California was the use of things like hop terpenes, more concentrated oils, and they're using equipment that's been funded and designed by people in the marijuana industry. We're fortunate that those states have those industries available to us so we can collaborate on technologies and techniques. So I hadn't really thought about it when I went back to New York recently. I was talking to Prison City about it, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I've never even heard of that." You know, they're talking about maybe working with hemp to some degree, but not to the level that we are out here in Colorado and again some other states that have legalization. Thank God, so that we can just keep making advancements for better beer that aren't just about adding more stuff to it. So what can we do that's what I'm hoping for in 2021. It's how do we make beer, getting back to a place where how do we make beer better without just adding more marshmallow and graham crackers to it? You know, I enjoy those things. I like their time and place. That's cool. But that can't be the only way we're innovating anymore. And it seems like that's what 2019 and particularly 2020 were all about. Just like, what other stuff can we put in this? And that's the innovation.
I think, marijuana is the big one that's next for beer. I'm in Kentucky. We grow a lot of hemp. So we have a couple hemp beers. Goodwood out of Louisville does a hemp gosa that's really good. There's a brewery out of Lexington that did a hemp brown ale. And then you mentioned the terpenes. The brewery I work at, we do every IPA that we do, and not every, just kind of like your standard American IPAs. We dose it with those terpenes. So it gives it the very dank smell. Honestly, you know, you can, the day we brew that beer and dose it, we smell like a marijuana dispensary.
Love the use of the word dosing.
we always joke when people get a howler or growler fill of that, we're just like, you better be careful, don't get pulled over, because your car is going to smell like marijuana. And it does.
Yeah, they'll never believe you.
Well, we have to wear masks here in Kentucky, and I remember the first time I ever poured that beer, within like half a second I smelled it coming out of the tap, and it's, people always are super confused. They're like, why does it smell like marijuana in here? It's like, we use terpenes in our beer. It's the same concept that Sweetwater does with their 420 or their G13 beers. We took the same idea. We just dose all of our IPAs with it. So I think, you know, that trend is gaining a lot of traction, and in the states that marijuana becomes legal, they're probably going to be ahead of us when getting, you know, I don't think it's legal to combine marijuana and beer yet. So I think that's kind of next for the states are ahead of it, like Colorado.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited just to see, because you have these two powerhouse industries that clearly generate a lot of revenue, and each industry is known for constantly pushing the envelope in terms of techniques and technology. So having them work together, since both plants with hops and marijuana being so similar and the processing of them being so similar, that you could figure out ways that they can help each other to improve the whole process and the final product.
It's definitely something that I think in 2021, probably more 2022, we'll see, it'll happen. We'll have more beers that are both THC and alcohol together.
Wild.
Now, Kinsey, I know that you had a couple new beers resolutions on the website today. You want to share some of yours?
Yeah.
My favorite, of course, is petting two dogs in a brewery.
So Emma, our national content editor, she said pet one dog, so I had the upper. I'm going to pet two dogs at a brewery. And that doesn't count my own. One of the big ones that I have for 2021 is I am a certified beer server, or Cicerone certified beer server. So I want to become a certified Cicerone, which is level 2. I always get confused, which is weird because I look at them all the time. So I want to go from my level 1 to level 2, which I think is a pretty big jump. If anyone is familiar with the program. So that's one of my big New Year's resolutions. I mean, it's a lot of studying, obviously, but it's beer. So
just by tasting beer by Randy Mosher. That's
I was gonna say it's behind me, yep, but it's actually,
that's it.
It is on my coffee table. So
that syllabus, oh man, that is, yeah, that's what got me through 100%.
Yeah. And yeah, then, I think I've got a bunch of old studying material, yeah, too, Kinsey, same, you can always share and collaborate too with. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it's pronounced
some books up there.
I believe it's pronounced Cicerone, but
Cicerone. Yeah, so that's pretty exciting. Something that I definitely want to accomplish in 2021. And then also here in Kentucky, we only have 88 breweries. So I definitely want, and I've been to probably half of them. So I want to visit the other half that I haven't been to before the year's over. Just because we're so small now, I want to, I mean, by the time I even get to finish it, we'll probably have like 8 more. But it's something, you know, do a little road trip around the state, and that gave me a chance to possibly do some podcasts if possible as well, because there's obviously a lot of females working in this industry. And Kentucky's a pretty small state, so it's pretty easy to travel from one side to the other. And I'm in Louisville, so I'm kind of in the middle, which is very nice as well.
Cool. Sammy, what about you? Any new beer resolutions?
I mean, I kind of agree with Kenzie. Like, there are, I feel like I've been lacking for the last 2 years from exploring new breweries in the city, especially, whether, like, if it's just me getting stuck in my ways or getting lost in work or whatever. And then this last year is a wash. So yeah, there are a few on the list. I just cannot wait to just sit and drink a beer and just like not worry about anyone breathing on me. I just want to drink, explore new places, and find new things.
I bet you're looking forward to having beer farts again at festivals. I mean,
yeah.
Take that, right?
Do you understand? I have been opening, it's been such an off-premise game, as Corey was saying, you know, with cans and everything. And I've been in all of these liquor stores, and all I think about is what's going to happen when May comes and it's festival season. And
you're just like,
oh yeah, it's total PTSD. It's like, am I
ready to crap? You ready to crap dust this whole city, Sammy? Season gets going.
100%. I cannot wait to set up my 10x10. I can't wait to set up my table, get my stupid jockey box, and pour beers for strangers.
Sammy's like, I've been holding in farts since last March.
Oh, I am so bloated.
For all those beers out there.
On that note, no. 2021 resolution, sit at a bar.
Oh, just sit at a bar.
Yeah.
Like a bar that I don't feel weird, because I don't know about Kentucky, but we're like allowed to be indoors again in Colorado. But, you know, you're sitting at a bar, but you're still 6 feet away from the stranger next to you.
Oh, we can't have bar seating. So
every now and again, you can find a bar. And you're like, oh, this is still kind of weird. I like it, I know, but it's still weird.
But of that vein, I think for me, doing more bottle shares and not just going to a bar that are reasonable. Because sometimes we'll go to a bottle share, there's like 100 bottles, like I can't even try, AKA Tristan's birthday. You can't even try everything that's there. But just doing that with people that appreciate it. And so trying new things that everybody's excited about, but regaining some of that enthusiasm that we really haven't been able to enjoy in 2020. Because sometimes I'll go through periods of time where it's just beer and I just want something I don't even have to think about. But I think part of that for me is missing out on enjoying really unique experiences with friends, people I care about, that also appreciate what we're having as much as I do. And I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah.
Corey, I've got to say, Corey, you have no idea the level of bottle share we're going to throw once this is all over.
I don't know if I could possibly believe that there's going to be more bottles than were at your party before, but
oh, there's going to be even more.
Okay, fair enough. And I won't be able to drink all of those either. So great. Looking
forward. No, we'll do a small one together for sure. We're getting close to the end of this podcast, but I do want to, you know, touch on some of the best of for 2020. So why don't we start with Kinsey? Again, for those who are just tuning in, Kinsey runs the Boys Are From Martzen podcast, and she has officially joined the Porchcast network. So we're very excited to have her on board, and you'll be seeing more collaborations between our podcasts here moving forward. But Kinsey, you're based in Kentucky. Tell us about some of your favorite beers, breweries, and maybe, you know, news stories that emerged from this past year?
Well, first and foremost, favorite brewery is the one I work at. I feel like I always have to say that. I work at Gallant Fox Brewing here in Louisville. We opened, I'll plug it real quick. We opened in July, which is obviously a scary time to open a brewery, but we've been doing okay. So thank you all to people who have come in. Some of the best beers I've had are from breweries that have been around for a long time, not a long time, but honestly, one of my favorite ones was Mile Wide here in Louisville. They're really known for their IPAs. They did a single hop, I believe it's a single hop, called Nebula. It was a single hop Galaxy Pale Ale. Probably one of the most fantastic beers I've had in a really long time. It's a rotating series. They do single hop pale ales. Put me on the spot, and I just wrote a whole list on it for Porch Drinking, and now I forget, but definitely that one. Atrium is another brewery that opened here in Louisville as well. Unfortunately, I'm biased towards Louisville just because that's where I live, so that's where my beer drinking comes from. They did a Kolsch, so it was really nice to see a brewery do a very traditional style German Kolsch. It was fantastic. I won't try to pronounce the name because I will butcher it. It's a German name. So I love Kolsches, and you don't see many breweries do them anymore. The funny thing is Mad Tree did a Kolsch as one of their core beers, but they've kind of rebranded it as a golden ale, which I thought was really interesting. And then one, obviously you mentioned earlier, the biggest beer story in the state of Kentucky was the Sawstone versus Stone trademark dispute. I kind of broke the story, like you said, on KSR, and it went pretty viral because of that, which was a very weird feeling to see your story on places that you wouldn't even expect it and people talking about it. I think it would have gotten a lot of attention anyway, just because, you know, how things are in the beer industry, they get picked up pretty quickly. But I just remember scrolling Reddit one day and my story just popped up on my Reddit feed, and I was like, this is weird. And I went down and visited the people at Sawstone, and it was really cool. You know, I probably wouldn't have done that without it. And they're really good people. You know, never thought just this little trademark dispute would get so much attention as it has. But they were very thankful for it. So if you ever get a chance, if you're ever in Moorhead, Kentucky, definitely go check them out. It's not a little town. It's actually a college town. It's where Moorhead State University is. It's a D1 school here in Kentucky. It's where they're located. But yeah, that's kind of it for Kentucky.
Nice.
Not it, but.
Yeah. Now, Sammy and Corey, we're putting together our like big Colorado roundup, but I'd love to hear your all's picks for some of the best beers, and maybe best beer, best brewery, or brewery who had the biggest year, and then maybe best new brewery to kind of come out of 2020.
Corey.
That's me. Okay.
Yeah.
So I think one of my trends that I liked a lot this past year that I wanted to mention was I love the fact that more people are investing in fooders. I don't know if they're using them for hot tubs or jacuzzis, or if they even have any idea what they're doing with them. But I love the fact that people are, again, kind of like I had mentioned with the marijuana and beer working together, figuring out ways to make beer better without just adding more stuff to it, using some old world processes that have been tried and true, and they exist for a reason, to make beer exceptional. And I really love that the industry seems to be moving in that direction, at least here in Colorado. With that being said, my favorite brewery and beer right now that I'm actually working on an article for Porch Drinking, it'll be available in a couple weeks, would be Wild Provisions. I'm just super stoked. I'm super stoked about what those guys have going on. Luckily, they got another little small mom and pop shop called Four Noses that helps generate revenue for them because they make exceptional beers, but of completely different styles and lots of distribution, so that they've been able to open this very impractical facility outside of Boulder that is not efficient for brewing beer in mass production, but it is exceptional for making some of the best beer on the planet. I remember I was talking to Brandon, the head brewer, one day after I was just having one of their 12 degree pale lagers. Randomly, I texted him. I was like, hey, man, I just need you to know this is one of the best beers on the planet right now. And I mean that wholeheartedly, because it's so good, but there's nothing, and it's good because there's no fluff about it. It's so straightforward. You taste the ingredients the way that they were meant to be. And that's all of their beers. So they're doing old world style Czech lagers. They're using cool ships with lagering. They're using horizontal lauters, they're using folk fooders for fermenting. Like it's cool. It's all stuff that it's crazy to say that that's innovative, because those have been available for a very long time in the brewing world. But the fact that they're incorporating them into what they do and everything that they make, I think is really exceptional. It's very unique, and I hope to see a lot more from them moving forward.
Great call on Wild Provisions. Sammy, what about you?
Yeah, like I said earlier, and granted, I have just been terrible these last 9 months. But I keep going back to those Western Conference All-Stars. That Westbound and Down, I cannot get enough of. I mean, any sort of hop combination, any sort of just real clean West Coast IPA is just scratching the itch and continues to. And so I will forever drink those 100%. When it comes to 2021, I think that I agree with Corey. I mean, if we can continue the trend of beer utilizing ingredients that are in beer to make the beer taste better, utilizing brewing techniques and fermenting techniques that just make the beer, just elevate the beer, I'm here for it. I'm here for a clean beer. I'm here to taste the flavors of beer. And I think that I've been saying it for the last 2 years. It's the train that I'm on. I like a clean beer.
Well, similarly, I think one of my big kind of predictions and also hopes for 2021 in that kind of same vein is, moving away from adjuncts when it comes to barrel-aged stouts and really focusing in on barrels. I think a lot of breweries are really finding, you know, creativity in terms of how long they age the beer, but also in the barrels that they utilize and really investing in higher quality barrels. And so I think a lot of breweries are going to be moving towards just focusing on showcasing the barrels versus throwing a bunch of weird adjuncts in there and kind of covering up some of the barrel characteristics. So that's one that I think will be interesting to see and follow. But in terms of some of my favorites for the year, Amalgam Brewing, we talked about them before, but their Muted Horn, which was kind of a more highly limited release, but it was just so incredible this year that I had to mention them. I kind of alluded to the Cerveza Clara y Más Fina Especial from Bierstadt Lagerhaus. That was also tremendous from a Mexican lager standpoint. True Brewing's Arise Pilsner was one that has been a revelation. And then you also touched on some of the Western Conference All-Star stuff. For me, in terms of new breweries for this year, I definitely had Wild Provisions on the list, Peculiar Ales up in Windsor, and then also Cabin Creek Brewing along I-70. I think they're in Georgetown. Mm-hmm. It was another one that I really thought stood out. And then finally, big stories to watch for 2021. Actually, I'm going to leave that one for the article. We've got two big stories that I think that people will be kind of surprised about and be interested to hear. So be sure to check out the article when it goes live. Yeah.
Good tease, Tristan. That's how you keep them on the hook.
This is a brewery podcast, baby.
One brewery I did want to mention, and this, I know we're kind of Colorado heavy on this, but hey, that's what we've been drinking. We're on lockdown, right? Before I forget, Casey Brewing. They're one of the breweries that when we went out and did an episode of Rotating Tap out there, everything that Troy slid across the bar just made you go, wow. And yeah. I know it's a lot of sours and it's a lot of Saison influence type sours and fruited. They do some hazy IPAs, but they did this pastry stout without any extra adjuncts besides vanilla beans, which I really like. It was kind of mind blowing how exceptional everything was and how unique it all tasted, even though their styles, quote unquote, even like their hazy, we've had hazies before, but even theirs was like, wow, this is pretty amazing. Good work. And I wanted to plug them particularly because I know that they are starting to distribute a little bit more to Denver. So if people are looking for some of their sours, some of their stouts, things of that nature, their distribution network is opening up a little bit.
And very I wanted cool. to say before you, since you're waiting for the Colorado Beer Review to come out, read the Kentucky Beer Review that already came out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, you come to Kentucky for bourbon, stay for the beer.
Great plug there. I do want to give one final shout out to our sponsors at Molly's Spirits. For all of our Denver listeners and anyone visiting Denver, Explore a land of adult beverage discovery at Molly Spirits, offering a curated selection of beers, wines, spirits in Lakeside and Greenwood Village, Colorado. Shop over 14,000 products, including exclusive collabs and extensive craft beer selection in-store and online for curbside pickup or delivery. Learn more at mollyspirits.com. I know we didn't get a chance to really talk about this. Traditionally, people celebrate Dry January, but we really urge everyone to get out and explore and support your craft breweries during this month, because breweries really need it. They're really hurting right now. And so I think it'd be great for you guys to, like Kinsey said at the beginning of this, celebrate a dry hop January instead, and maybe go out and buy some gift cards instead. If you are participating, then buying some gift cards or buying beers to barrel age beers that can sit and age a little extra longer might be a good way to celebrate as well. Kinsey, thank you so much for joining us.
We're very
pumped to have you join the official Porchcast network. For all of you listening, go subscribe to the Boys Are From Mertzen podcast. And also, if you haven't subscribed to the Porchcast, give us a follow as well and give us a little rating. A big thank you to Bryant for producing this episode. As always, you keep us sounding great. Sammy and Corey, thank you.
That dog sounded wonderful.
Yeah. Weller for keeping things interesting.
Crystal, loud and clear.
Corey and Sammy, pumped to have the full team in the house. And as always, this is Tristan Chan signing off for the Porchcast. We'll check you later.